John 14. As we look at this subject of prayer tonight, and I'm going to go through it semi-quickly, I want you to realize that this tonight, before I remember this type of thing that I'm doing tonight, don't get scared, we're not going to go that long tonight, but I remember when I first did something like this, before I came here, I did do a series on prayer, but this one I did, I remember the when I was a discipleship pastor, I did, I think, a five-week study on this. So I'm doing 5 weeks in 1 week here. So just so that we might take some different truths and principles that on prayer, and then I can maybe go another route and another one, maybe if the Lord lays on my heart, on prayer that way. But what I would like to do is in the last, I think we have like 17, 18 something, whatever, Sundays left with you, that will be, Lord willing, minus some, because you'll have someone come and fill the pulpit to see whether you'll be the next pastor. But I'd like to, on Sunday evenings, because I'm going to have to go a lot on Peter in the mornings, but I'd like to, on Sunday evenings, do some real practical truths of helping all of us live that life for Christ. I know my wife's Sunday school is starting a spiritual disciplines in her class. But I'd like to take different truths that we have that possibly we've done years in the past, or other things that we have, that might help our lives grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer is a vital breath of life to the church and to your personal life. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says that to command to pray without ceasing. D. Edmund Hibbert, who wrote different commentaries on different books, critique and critical commentaries, wrote a book on intercessory prayer. And his definition of prayer is this, as you see on the screen. Prayer is, and by the way, I underlined the basis of prayer. Notice how he defined this. Prayer is God's gracious arrangement whereby his saints, whose saints? So what is this implying? Implying prayer is mainly for who? Believers. Aren't you glad he hears the repentant prayer of an unbeliever? Because we were all there, weren't we? Praise the Lord. But now we have open access to him beyond the heavens, beyond the Holy of Holies, right there. And so he says, prayer is God's gracious arrangement whereby his saints are privileged. Think of that. God wants us to work together with him. What he's already designed, he wants us to be part of that. And all I can say is that when we would ask you to pray for something and we see that answer of prayer, guess what happens if you didn't pray for that? You don't get the privilege and the blessings of that. Whereas if you prayed for it, you're looking and saying, wow. And so it's God's gracious arrangement whereby his saints are privileged to work together with who? With him. And what does he want to do it for? In furthering his purpose. Our marked out path. And it unites puny man with Almighty God in miraculous partnership. I had never heard of that definition of prayer before. I read this book and saw this, and I saw how actually this is a very scriptural depth definition of prayer. And so this evening we would like to look at this, and we're going to first of all look at the authority of prayer. The authority of prayer. What I mean by that is, where's the authority come? Is it priority? Is it the importance of prayer? So I would say that the authority of it, the importance of it, is all based that Christ confirmed it by his exemplary prayer life. In other words, Christ prayed. If Christ prayed, should we pray? Yes. He's the Son of God. If he prayed, we had better do it. Now, look at the areas of which he prayed. His ministry commenced in prayer. He started his ministry in prayer, bathed in prayer. His ministry continued in prayer, Mark 1:35. Continued, as he walked, he continued to pray. This is the Son of God. His ministry counted upon prayer, Luke 5:15 and 16. His men were chosen in prayer. Boy, that's a good one, isn't it, for us right now? Christ went alone, the Bible says, and he prayed, and the next morning he came down and he chose disciples. He chose men to minister with him. That would intentionally, in the future, spread the gospel so that Colchester Bible Baptist Church has it and is able to be in existence. As his men were chosen in prayer, his miracles were consummated by prayer. And his ministry was confirmed by his prayer. John 17, 1-26, the high priestly prayer. He prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for us. And so his ministry was consummated by prayer. It was confirmed by prayer. His ministry on earth concluded in prayer. What was the last thing before his resurrection? What was the last thing we hear in Scripture that he said? Father, into thy hands I what? Commend thy spirit. And he died. Now, he taught them much in between those 40-60 days there, that 40 days that he was living before his ascension. But then notice this. He was ascended and went to heaven. Scripture tells us that his ministry in heaven continues in prayer. He makes intercession for us. And I'm standing here. I need that intercession. I need it. Please, Lord. I know this is stupid for me to say this. Don't give up on me. I know he's not going to. But just, I need that intercessory prayer. So I'd say just that alone, we could go home now, couldn't we? We've got our message. Just because he prayed, we need to pray without ceasing. That's the authority of prayer. He did it. But there's also another aspect. The church that he started continued in it. Do you know where it started? With a bunch of people on their knees. That's where it started. And it continued with people praying. Acts 1:13 through 14, 2:42 through 47, 6:4, 14:20 to 12:5, 16:25. We can go on. But the church continued in it. I would say since his church continued in prayer, prayer is awfully what? Important and of a necessity. And then lastly, here's a real simple one. God commanded it. Pray without ceasing. There it is. We could go on there, but let me go quicker to continue to cover some more things, because let's look at the aim of prayer. The aim of prayer. Look with me in John 14, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." All right? What do we see here? We see the pursuit of God's glory in verse 13. We see the pursuit of God's glory in verse 13. And as we look at that passage of Scripture, there's a couple things that we see in that. Look at it, it says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." There we have Christ's promise. In the last part, we have the very purpose. What does he say? "Ye shall ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be" what? His purpose is that he might be glorified. So Christ promises what? Answered prayer. Look what it says. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." So that's the pursuit of God's glory. His exhibit, his unique excellence. Think of this. The pursuit of our interest and our happiness is never above God's, but always in God's. The most precious truth in the Bible is that God's gracious interest is to glorify the wealth of his grace by making precious truths in the Bible sinners happy in truth. And so as we look at that, it says we ask, have answered prayer. as one man put it this way, it is not a magic formula that obligates God to grant our selfish requests that people make. To pray in Jesus' name has a far more profound and serious meaning. It says pray in his name here according to his will. It means to make requests consistent with God's will. Number two, it is to acknowledge one's spiritual poverty. When you go before God, don't think you're Mr. Hotshot. I don't want to break this to you tonight, but I'm going to. You're not a hotshot. I'm not a hotshot. I need to humbly go for God, before God, because he is the God of glory. And we realize that our request must be consistent with God's will and acknowledge our spiritual poverty. In other words, we lack self-sufficiency and we're unworthy. And our dependence must be on the merits of God. Dependence on him, not your selfish own desires. But be content with God's kingdom. And then number three, it's an expressed, a sincere desire that God will be glorified in his answer. In other words, would you rather, when you're praying, would you rather God answer your prayer specifically that you're asking according to your request for your benefit, or would you rather see God answer to his glory? Now that's, I know the answer. I know the spiritual answer. I know the spiritual, I know I answer it spiritually. But now I ask myself the question, do I? I want that prayer answered. And God's going to answer it. You know, hindsight's 20/20. And I look back at things as I prayed for, and God gave me the answer. Sometimes it was a lot later. Sometimes it was then, and it wasn't the answer that I was looking for. But it was the answer that God purposed. So his name would be what? Glorified. Just as, folks, just as the next man for here, that prayer will be answered so God will be glorified because it will be his man, not yours. Now, God, in a blessing, God's going to use you in your prayer. God's going to use you to find that man. Isn't that working together with God? What a privilege! That's exciting! And so we realize that, think of this, I guess. Answered prayer. Think of this. Think of being paralyzed from the neck down and how you would need someone to help you when you go to prayer. I can't do anything. Could you give me that over there and give me a sip of water? Well, think of that. The Bible says in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So that thought concludes that we really are paralyzed without God. God promises to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. God's going to do the work. He's going to cause different things to happen. I've shared with you on as far as the burden to have God's man here, not your, you put in what you want to see here. And so God has that man. But I want you to know there's so many things that can that will happen for that man to get here. Let me just say, I believe with all my heart is God's will for me to be at Colchester Bible Baptist Church and be here for almost these next 20 years. I believe with all my heart. But getting here, a lot of different things happened. And they had to happen for my benefit, for his glory. And even a delay because you weren't ready, the church wasn't ready for a pastor then, even though they said they were. And it went on and on. And so it was about a certain time that some things happened. And then different things happened with me in places where I was looking for, as far as out there with names and different things. And everything fell through. And when I came, when this, the church here, I had a bunch of names and different things. It was, I guess I came because what else could I do, you know? We can't do anything without God. And that's what prayer is all about. We need God's prayer. His purpose is God to be glorified. Look what it says there. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be what? Glorified in the Son. And when you find that next man, guess what that's going to be? Over 20 years ago, April, coming to April 20 years, April called me as the pastor. God was glorified in that. I'm just trying to use a practical illustration to try to show you. You cannot stop praying, and you need to continue to pray and let God do his work. And you be obedient, and don't let anything in your life that will hinder you from answered prayer. Because God also gives us that. That's another message in itself. There's like a half a dozen different truths through God's scripture that are hindrances to prayer, of answered prayer. But we've got to realize then that it's the pursuit of that joy. But we realize that prayer is the open admission that without Christ, we can do nothing. Because the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. You see, the folly of not waiting for God is that we forfeit the blessing of having God work for us. One man put it this way: prayer is essential activity of waiting for God, acknowledging our helplessness and his power, calling upon him for help, seeking his counsel. Prayer is the antidote for the disease of self-confidence, which opposes God's goal of getting glory by working for those who wait for him. In other words, it'd be put in this way: to pray without ceasing is like a patient in a convalescent home. They keep buzzing the nurse. They keep buzzing the nurse. And so we see the pursuit of our joy. Look at, quickly over, turn over to John 16 and verse 24. 16:24, and it says, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name? Ask and you receive." Why do you ask? Now, notice the first verse, that God may be glorified. And now it says, you ask in my name, so that who will be glorified? Look what it says. That ye shall receive, that your joy may be what? Full. Because your desire becomes God's desire. He lays it on your heart. You pray. He answers. Now it's your joy. God's unique excellence then is exhibited through your prayer. Because now you've glorified God, and now your joy is full. What a wonderful day it will be when you see, of course, first of all, your Savior. But now let's look at our practical life, and what a wonderful day it will be when you see and call the man that God has for you here. You folks will be jumping up and down. Well, not literally, because I know Dan would get a heart attack, you know, and we don't want that to happen, you know. Gary would bust his knee again, you know, and so, you know, things like that. That's what happens in prayer, the joy. And sometimes it's answered in a sad way, but it's still a joy in heart. Remember when we were praying for Ralph Keane? God answered our prayer. He's rejoicing in glory. Just maybe not the way we did, but his name was glorified in that. And his life was glorified while he was here and how he handled it. And so his name was glorified. And so the pursuit of our joy, God's prayer, because notice it says you have to ask. We need to ask and keep on asking. You see, anyone who asks in the spirit of Christ's revelation, according to God's will, for the furtherance of his glory, on the base of Christ's merits, will receive. The Lord has this mind that your joy will be full. Through the constant fellowship with God in prayer, and in the cup of joy is filled with all of that. And then you receive that your joy may be full. That's that crown. That's the whole aim. You see, prayerlessness produces joylessness, while prayerfulness produces joyfulness. Prayerlessness produces joylessness, while prayerfulness produces joyfulness. A vital fellowship with God. It's our nerve center for our fellowship with Jesus, as we see in John 15:7. Prayer is a walkie-talkie for warfare, not a domestic intercom for increasing our conveniences, for the point of prayer is empowered for our mission. Fellowship with Jesus is essential to joy, but there is something about it that impels us onward to share his life with others. Prayer opens the eyes of the heart to the wonders of the Word. If love is the path of fullest joys, then let us pray for the power to love, that our joy may be full. John Piper said this: prayer pursues joy in fellowship with Jesus and the power to share his life with others. And prayer pursues God's glory by treating him as the inexhaustible reservoir of hope and help. In prayer, we admit our poverty and God's prosperity, our bankruptcy and his bounty, our misery and his mercy. Therefore, prayer highly exalts and glorifies God precisely by pursuing anything we long for in him and not in ourselves. That's the aim of prayer. The aim of prayer, to pursue the glory of God, an answered prayer, and God be glorified. The pursuit of our joy, to ask so that our joy may be full. And then we see the adoration of prayer. I don't know if you have to turn there, but you know Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, the Lord's Prayer. How does it start out? Can you help me? Our Father, which what? Art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then what's it say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what do we have here? Here's the imperative. Our Father, which art in heaven. Here's the reverence towards God. It addresses where he is and who he is. He's in heaven. Our Father, we revere him, which art in heaven. We reverence him because he's our Father and he's in heaven. Did you know that's what every one of your prayers should start with? Respect to our Heavenly Father. And I don't, sometimes we have a specific prayer that we go to, but there's such thing as different kinds of prayers. But I really believe before we get there, we need to first of all talk to him about who he is and revere him. And not in a recite, not in a, our dear Heavenly Father. There's nothing wrong with saying that. Just mean it. That's all. And who he is and his mercy, his goodness, and what he's done. Because he says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Reference to his authority. His name. What is it? His kingdom. Come. That's his authority. It's his kingdom. And then render to God's purpose. And what is that? His will, his direction. But you notice if we put more time in that prayer, in that passage, it then goes, after we honor God and revere God, we have reverence and reference and rendering to God. After we do that, what's that prayer go on? Then he says, now you can go to needs that you have. Now he talks about your needs. It's rightfully to go to your needs. Where God's convicted you of sin, where you see a need in somebody else. I just believe we need to go to who God is first and realize who we're talking to. Sometimes that will keep us from asking amiss when we just realize who we're talking to. And then we see its implementation is this. He spake a parable unto them to this end, in Luke 18:1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Do you believe that? That's what the Lord said. We need to always pray and not to faint. So let's look at the application then of prayer. Turn now to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Aren't you glad we have scripture to back all this up? My words would be just a bunch of, yeah, that's what you say, Pastor. But now you can't argue with me. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. We could go through this whole passage. This is another message in itself. But we're just going to take verse 1 and take it quickly and see the application. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and let's just read verse 1. The Bible says, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, and look at verse 2, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Okay, let's look at that application of prayer here. first of all, the significance of that prayer. Notice he says, first of all, I exhort you. That's urgency. Another word that can be translated that exhort is urge. Beg. So it means to beg, entreat, urge. So when he says there, I exhort, therefore, who's the writer here? Paul. Who's he writing to? Timothy. One of his converts, one that he's discipling. He has already discipled. And now Timothy's discipling others and wants them to disciple others. And so we have Colchester Bible Baptist Church because that happened. Paul speaking to him, and he's urging him, he's begging him. That's the significance of it. He's exhorting him, urging Timothy, do this, first of all. In your ministry there in Ephesus, in your ministry, he says, first of all, what's he saying? First of all, do what? He says, prayer, pray. And then he gives four different aspects of prayer. But he first of all says, pray. And he includes prayers in one of those four. Would you say God's trying to get something across to us tonight? Pray much. And when you don't know what's going on, pray. You're wrestling in your heart, pray. And keep praying. It doesn't have to be on your knees. It can be while you're walking. It can be while you're driving, as long as you keep your eyes open. You know? But he first of all says, I exhort you therefore, first of all, first place in importance and treatment in the church. He's really talking here about corporate prayer. That's how. So it's important for us to pray when we come together and pray corporately. That's got to be a priority in this church. Excuse me for getting so excited. That's got to be a priority in this church. I don't want to go away from our day and age of just cool it, Mark. Stay calm, collected. We need to pray, first of all. Did that help you, or would you rather me go back to the other way? You see, I exhort you, that's significant in prayer. Look at the structure of it. Supplications. Can you tell me what supplications means? What? Need? Yeah. Pardon me? Yes. He's got supplication that literally means, when we come to that word supplications, it's a word for prayer meaning a request or petition. It comes actually from the verb meaning to want or to lack. You want something, you lack it, so what do? Ask for it. Pray for it. It's significant of prayer which springs from feeling of want or a basic sense of need. Not wrong to pray for needs. Signal a prayer which springs from the feeling of want and a basic sense of need. It is a prayer rising out of a sense of human inadequacy to meet the demand of life. Without such a need, our prayers lack depth, sincerity, and becoming formal. And so the structure of our prayer, he says, first of all, this is the most important. You need to pray and make supplications. First of all, your prayer needs to be part. This is where the worship starts. Then he says prayers. Now this word prayers is a basic word that has the idea of general term used to include all different kinds of prayer with no restriction of content. But it also is a word that is only used as from man to God. There's another word for prayer that is you're praying or talk, communicating, asking on the same level. Like a king in time would go and ask another king. There's a word in the New Testament that's what that's in. This is not used here. But guess whenever Jesus Christ, the word prayer that Jesus Christ is praying to his Heavenly Father, guess which word is used? Same level. I know that's just a coincidence, isn't it? It just tells us who God is, who Jesus Christ is. And so we realize here that prayer is used only of prayer to God, of which must have an element of reverence to God as you talk to him. Then look at the next word. It's intercessions. Pleading in the interests of others and doing this without holding back. It comes from the verb meaning to fall in with. It conveys the thought of meeting another for the purpose of a conversation or a consultation. The verbal form means to fall in with a person, to draw near so as to converse familiar. It means an approach to God in free and familiar prayer. He throws himself into our case when it has to do with God in Hebrews 7:25. He is always meeting us at every point in our lives and intervening in all of our affairs for our benefit. He's making intercession for us to the Heavenly Father. And so now he's saying, Timothy, he's making intercession for us. You need to make intercession for others and see their needs and pray for others. Pleading on the interests of others and doing this without holding back in any way. And the need that they might have. Then it says, lastly, giving of thanks. The idea here is of an inner attitude as well as public expression of thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving is a complement of all true prayer, for it prepares the heart to appreciate properly the blessing that is to be received. Really, it's a total dependence on God as we realize the importance of prayer and just of giving of thanks. And giving of thanks. Then we have the scope of prayer. And notice it's universal. Verse 2, it's for all men. It's for all men. Worldwide. We see that it's without distinction of race, nationality, social position. It's for all men. Do you know what that means? It's for everyone. You pray. The broader the scope of the prayer, the larger becomes the spiritual vision of the soul. The more you pray, the larger you pray for all men, your scope gets louder. Your spiritual vision gets bigger. I believe some of you will, that you'll be praying for Brenda and I as we seek out that vision, what God's going, we don't know what God's going to do personally with us in ministry. We know we're going to serve in that church there. And then this last week, I got word that the Arch Ministries is going to, again, he told me earlier, but the head of Arch Ministries, Tim Potter, has mentioned to me this week that there's a part that there's going to be a regional part, and there's going to be 11 men that want to come and we want to meet and talk about regional and helping start churches. I don't know how that's going to look, but the Lord's already starting. I don't know what's that going to be. And we realize that we pray for all men. And then we pray nationally for kings, for all that are in authority. Maybe we're where we're at today because believers aren't taking this as a priority to pray for our country and those that are in authority over us. I don't know if you do, but do you pray for your boss? Here it's talking about government for kings and establishment, but all that are in authority. Do you pray for the policeman when he pulls you over for speeding? That's a tough one. You know, there's been different times that I've been pulled over for speeding. And I wait till we get all done with it, whether he gives me a ticket or not. And then I talk to him about the Lord. I don't want him to think that I'm trying to get out of it. They're usually surprised. They come up to me and they say, you know, I didn't realize I was doing that, but yeah, you're right. I was daydreaming. I remember one time I was coming up and I was listening to a Tiger ball game. And I said, I was daydreaming. I was listening to Tiger ball game and that would put anybody's mind out. And he just came, and I could tell he wasn't in a happy mood. But then right when he was going to, this is free, okay? But right when he was going to maybe give me a ticket, because it's one of those places, those traps, you know, where it's a two-lane road that you're out in country and then you go into a city. it's sort of a city, sort of a town, and you got to slow down and then you get up right in, it's sort of a trap. Well, that's what happened. I didn't slow down soon enough or whatever. And right then, this small city, I could hear over his little thing, so-and-so, there's a break-in or there's something like this. I knew this guy wanted to be part of that. And he goes and he says, slow down. Don't do that again. Got and left. I'm going, all right. I don't know what that has to do in God's will, but it happened. And so we've got to realize, though, the scope of our prayer ministry. Not just your family. You need to be looking and asking God, bring different people in my mind so I can pray for them, Lord. And that I can pray for our missionaries time to time. That I can pray for the government. It'd be nice to have our government back in pay, wouldn't you think? Wouldn't it be nice to have that? Some people would humble themselves. So let's pray for their humbling. I was talking to a preacher this week, and he said, I just got done praying that God would work in the lives. And I thought to myself, what? That's a rebuke to me. I haven't been praying that way. God brought that conversation in my mind for me to change something. I need to start regularly praying for that. And so we must realize that application of prayer. And then let's look at the accomplishment of prayer. Do you think that prayer accomplishes things? Has it accomplished anything in your life? Well, I could go all the way back. I could say all the things that it's accomplished. But number one, through prayer, workers are raised up and sent forth. Do you believe that? Well, let me prove it to you. Matthew 9, 37, 38. Then saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, labors are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labors unto his harvest. Through prayer, workers are raised up and sent forth. Do you pray that workers will be sent up and prayed for? Do you pray that young people and others will be called to the ministry and sent forth? Do you pray that way? Maybe we don't have them today. Notice what is being said. This morning was mentioned about a man that they had just zoomed with this week, and there's two other churches. That means there's three churches looking at one man. You know what it used to be? Three men or five or six men looking at three churches. And we've got to start praying, God. I've talked to different presidents, different men that I've known, and the preacher classes, the people that are going out, they're just not there. And we've got to realize we need to start praying that way. It says, pray therefore the Lord that he will send forth labors. God's commanding us. So are you doing that? It will be accomplished if you'll do that. He said this unto his disciples. Do this. Pray it. Number two, through prayer, workers are raised up and sent forward. Or number two, through prayer, doors of opportunity are opened for preaching. Did I skip one or did I get that? Yeah. Through prayer, doors of opportunity are opened for preaching. Colossians 4, 2 through 4. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. What's he saying? Through prayer, opportunities are open for preaching. That's pretty simple. Continue in prayer, he says, the church at Colossae. Watching the same with thanksgiving. Praying for me, that God would open a door of utterance. I'm here. I started that work here. Now I'm doing a work here. Pray for an open door here. Pray for an open door tomorrow at work. Speak the truth in love. Pray that it might come down there. Pray that those open doors will happen for this local church. Through prayer, workers are enabled to speak with boldness. Did you know you can speak with it? We've got a promise there. Praying in Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray that God will give you boldness. And guess what he'll do? He'll give you boldness. Some of you might have prayed when I said, it wasn't out in the unsaved world, but I was on a podcast. And I asked you to pray. And you know what? God gave me boldness. I could tell. There was things that just, questions were asked. I just put this in there, put it in. I didn't think of this. The Spirit gave it to me. That's just answering a prayer. So I'm telling that those that did pray, your joy should be full. Not because of that, because God, you were obedient to God, and you can just rejoice with God that his name was glorified. Through prayer, workers are enabled to speak with boldness. Through prayer, the word is spread and glorified. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course. Boy, that needs to be prayed today, doesn't it? And be glorified, even as with you. What is he saying to the church at Thessalonica? It was glorified with you. Look at the church that started there. Look how you're living. Look what you're doing. You're putting the word of God first, and you're living according to what God wants you to do, as it was with you. So pray that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified amongst you further, and where I am, that the word is spread and glorified, that it will have free course as you speak it. Along in that same context, then, we see through prayer the powers in opposition to God are broken. In verse 2 of 2 Thessalonians 3 says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Boy, you don't like to get shut down, do you? It's just too hard. Well, you just pray that you'll be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men don't have faith. So the powers of opposition to God are broken. God gives us those promises. We need to pray. The accomplishment of prayer, through prayer, God's servants are kept from harm. Acts 12:5 and 17, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show this to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went at another place. Through prayer, God's servants are kept from harm. But you know something? God has something to do with that. Because at the same time, there is a man by the name of James that Herod went and killed and executed. But yet he had Peter not executed. And so we've got to realize as we pray in God's will and his providence. But we have it right here, the example. God's servants are kept from harm. We need to pray for that in God's will. Through prayer, mighty works are accomplished. John 14:12-14, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Edmund Hibbert concluded the idea of prayer like this, with another aspect of prayer. Prayer is asking divine omnipotence to work through yielded human weakness. Are you weak? Yeah. He wants the weak, because when I'm strong, if I'm going to be weak, I'll be strong. God is looking for faithful intercessors through whose prayer he can perform more to the mighty works promised by our Lord. And putting it that way, think of that. If that's true, God's looking for you to be an intercessory prayer for others. He's looking for you to be that faithful prayer warrior. I told you what. I had the greatest prayer warrior back that ended in, I believe it was 2020, or no, 2015, excuse me, it's 2015, my mom was taken to glory. The greatest prayer warrior I had. So God's looking for faithful intercessors more, who prayers can perform more of the mighty works promised by our Lord. And through prayer is the most powerful ministry which God has entrusted to his saints. Listen to a poem written. There's a holy, high vocation, needing workers everywhere. 'Tis the highest form of service. 'Tis the ministry of prayer. No one need stand idly longing for a place in which to share. Active service for the master, there's always room for prayer. In these days of tribulation, wickedness pervades the air. And the battles we engage in must be won through fervent prayer. There's no weapon half so mighty as the intercessors bear, nor a broader field of service than the ministry of prayer. Do you long to see the millions who are perishing today snatch as brands plucked from the burning? Do you long, yet seldom pray? Come and join the intercessors. Lols, then someday you'll wear, for there's no higher service than the ministry of prayer. God says, pray without ceasing. Our dear Heavenly Father,